if you're going to a Lutheran church, you should be hearing the name of Jesus more than the name of Martin Luther.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of the book Being Lutheran.
And I think that's really what Martin Luther would want. He made it quite clear that this faith is not to be based on him, but is to be based on Christ alone.
You can purchase Being Lutheran at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Being Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
There's great interest in the fact that you have joined the Muslim religion. How long have you had this interest, Cassius?
Oh, for the past 6 years, I would say, after hearing a lot of teachings on Negro history and who we were before we got here, and one makes two.
You feel your affiliation with the Muslim religion, being a follower of the Muslim religion, had something to do with your winning the championship?
Well, I would say so. My religion is what the only thing that I can give me credit for pulling me through, because 99 out of 100 seemed to see no possibility of me winning. The newspaper reporters and everybody all over the world condemned me. They said it would be a mismatch, and everybody, couldn't nobody believe it. So my prayers to Allah and faith in my religion, living a clean, righteous life, I have to say that's what pulled me through.
That's the famous voice of Muhammad Ali, formerly known as Cassius Clay, talking about his conversion to the Nation of Islam in 1964, attributing his success in the boxing ring to his prayers to Allah and his living of a righteous life. What do we make of this? The great boxer, he called himself the greatest of all time, has passed away after a long fight against Parkinson and is famous for many things, probably least of which is his devotion to the Nation of Islam. We'll be talking about the Nation of Islam. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Joe Goodell joins us for the first half hour of this hour, and then we'll get our update on the November elections with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist. You can join us with questions or comments over the course of the next hour, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc. Our beloved on-demand listeners, whenever, wherever you listen, use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Dr. Joe Goodell joins us. He's Director of Campus Ministries at Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, adjunct professor at Concordia Theological Seminary, and author of several articles on the Nation of Islam and Islam for the Christian Research Journal. Joe, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, good to be with you again, Todd. Nice to be on the air with you.
Joe, what exactly is the relationship between Islam, the big thing, and this smaller entity called the Nation of Islam?
Well, that's a great question, Todd. I don't know how many Americans, how many Christians know just what Muslims believe, let alone the Nation of Islam. Muslims, historic Islam, you know, have certain basic tenets and beliefs. The Nation of Islam is looked upon by Sunni and Shiite Muslims as an Islamic cult, much as Christians would look at Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses as groups that don't teach or believe basic Christianity. So too with the Nation of Islam. It's basically Islam in name only, and there are many ways in which it differs.
So it claims an association, the Nation of Islam would claim an association with Islam, but Islam, by and large, would want to disassociate itself from the Nation of Islam.
Definitely. Just a prime example, the foundational confession of faith, Shahada, or the Kalima, for Muslims, that's what they have to confess to be accepted as Muslim. It says, there is no God but Allah, Muhammad is the prophet of Allah. They are rigidly monotheistic, as are we as Christians. One of the main reasons historic Islam rejects Christianity is because of Jesus' incarnation, the belief that God became man, Emmanuel, God with us, etc. Whereas historic Islam rejects this teaching that is foundational to Christianity, the Nation of Islam embraces it, but in a different way. They don't believe that Jesus was God. They believe that the founder of the Nation of Islam, a man named Wallace Fard Muhammad, who came down and or appeared in 1930 in Detroit, they believe that he was an incarnation of Allah. And then he disappeared mysteriously 4 years later. They say he ascended into heaven, but and then it was taken over by his successor, Elijah Poole, who became Elijah Muhammad. But that's just one example. They believe that the founder of the Nation of Islam was God who came down and became man.
Okay, so that's a great deviation from Islam itself. You've touched upon the history of their beliefs. How would you go into more detail on what the adherents of the Nation of Islam, where it came from?
Yeah, well, it started, as I said, in 1930. Elijah Muhammad became the next leader. He stayed with them for about 40, 41 years as the leader. But there are many things that they teach and taught and still believe today that are totally different than what Muslims believe. The deification of their founder is one. They deny basically the afterlife or the physical afterlife. And if you go on their website and you look at the teachings of Elijah Muhammad, you know, it talks about these various things. They believe that they will be resurrected mentally, whatever that means. And so that is, you know, a total difference between Christianity, Islam, and the Nation of Islam. One of the things that's maybe best known for is its blatant racism. From the very beginning, it has been a separatist organization saying amazingly harsh, racist things about white people and people who aren't black. And that's probably one of the things that brought it so much notoriety in the 1960s when Malcolm X became the main spokesman for the Nation of Islam.
That's the other great association, kind of the celebrity association with the Nation of Islam. And I think that's where most people began to realize that it had, I think the more neutral term would be kind of a radical bent to it. How would you describe that? What is the kind of the goal of the Nation of Islam, either politically or socially?
Well, their goal, the reason they appeal to so many black people is they do a lot of things within the black community. They reach out to them. They give them self-respect, et cetera. But black people, they generally might be sympathetic to the Nation of Islam, but their actual numbers are quite small, maybe 20,000 to 30, 40,000 nationwide. And their teachings, though, concerning whites, if you just go online and look at any of their articles or the teachings of Muhammad Elijah or Farrakhan, you know, they talk about black people as the original human race. They refer to, these are some direct quotes from my article on the Nation of Islam. They refer to Jews as our enemies. They refer to America as the number one enemy of freedom-loving people on earth. They refer to whites as blue-eyed, blonde-haired devils. And they're told to not follow the, quote, filth and evil of the white race. And Farrakhan referred to Hitler as a very great man. And he came to prominence basically in 1984 during the presidential election when Jesse Jackson was running for the nomination for the Democrats. And he became very famous then and since then. But they have not retracted in any of these. They still believe these things. They are maybe not as vocal oftentimes, but they're part of the Nation of Islam's basic philosophies.
So is it a view that the black, I hesitate to use the word race because I kind of reject the notion that we're talking here about actual races of human beings, but then let's just refer to it as skin color, the black-colored people are superior to other people? Is that the current teaching of the Nation of Islam?
Oh, definitely. They believe that they are, that black people, Negroes, they might refer to themselves sometimes as, but the black people are Asiatic blacks. They were the first creation, and that all of the other races came from the black people. Initially, they wanted to be totally separate from everyone else and have a separate nation here in America. They were shooting for that. Obviously, that didn't happen. Now they say they just want to separate in communities, not necessarily become a new nation. But they do look at black people as the cream of the creation of Allah. And they look at all other people, especially white people, Jews. They really say terrible things about the Jewish people. They look at all other people outside of black people as inferior.
What do they believe about Christianity?
Well, Christianity, they're especially vitriolic and outspoken in their comments, their racism, and their theological attacks on Christianity. They look at it as the white man's religion. That's a direct quote. They look at it as something that enslaved black people to follow along. And so they reject almost everything about Christianity. They believe that Jesus was just a prophet, as does Islam. But they deny any of the essential teachings of Christianity, like Islam. They deny that Jesus was God. They deny that he died on the cross and rose from the dead. And that's an essential difference when you're talking to people of other belief backgrounds, especially Muslims. You could ask them, well, Jesus proved his claims by his death, his resurrection, the prophecies pertaining to him. And you can ask them, did Muhammad in the 6th century heal the sick or raise the dead or raise himself? You can go online and view his grave. It's still there. Did Elijah Muhammad? Well, they believe he was ascended into heaven, but nobody saw that. But Louis Farrakhan, Elijah Muhammad, have they performed any of the things that Jesus did? What evidences do they have to prove any of the things that they say? The answer is they don't have any. It's all emotional, and they ply on the they really try to use the bad feelings that many black people have for various reasons, and they use those to lure them into the Nation of Islam. When Muhammad Ali became a member of the Nation of Islam, that was in 1964, right about the time of his prize-winning fight when he became the champion when he fought Sonny Liston. He rejected most of the things about America as a member of the Nation of Islam. Their best-known member was Malcolm X, and he had quite a checkered background. He was in prison most of his life. It was while in prison he ran across the teachings of the Nation of Islam. He rejected his so-called white name and took the name Elijah X. Before that, his name was Malcolm Little, so he became Malcolm X. And he was the most fiery, best-known Muslim until Muhammad Ali became a member of the Nation of Islam in America. And the thing that changed, talking about the differences, the thing that changed the life of Malcolm X, if any of you have read or would read the autobiography of Malcolm X, he talks about this. One of the pillars of Islam is the Holy Hajj, the pilgrimage to Mecca, which all Muslims are required to, if humanly possible, to make once during their lifetime. Malcolm X went there, he went to Mecca, and at the end of his book, he said he saw for the first time in his life people of all colors from all around the world worshiping together. And he realized that the Nation of Islam was wrong, that God is not racist, and it was shortly after that that he left. And he said he was signing his own death warrant by leaving, and indeed he did, because within a year of after he left the Nation of Islam, he was murdered in 1965 in the New York City's Audubon Ballroom, when three black men in the front of the auditorium stood up and shot him to death. But he realized that true Islam is not racist. The sad thing is, you know, he did not experience this in the Christian churches, and that's something that we have to work on. The Church of Jesus Christ is not a country club. It's something to reach out to all people. And I think we fall short there sometimes. But that is a huge, huge difference between historic Islam and the Nation of Islam.
When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the current leader of the Nation of Islam, Louis Farrakhan. We mentioned him briefly before. We'll get more details on his life and his thinking when we come back. Dr. Joe Goodell is our guest, Director of Campus Ministries at Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana, adjunct professor at Concordia Theological Seminary, and author of several articles on the Nation of Islam and Islam for the Christian Research Journal.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Greetings in Christ, and thank you for listening to Issues, Etc. If you ever find yourself visiting the Smoky Mountains in East Tennessee, please join us here at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Sevierville. We see it as a small part of our service to the church to provide sound liturgical worship opportunities for vacationing Lutherans to our area. For worship times and directions, please visit our website at splctn.com. That's splctn.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkmore, talking with Joe Goodell about the beliefs and practices of the Nation of Islam. Joe, Muhammad Ali, Malcolm X, we've mentioned both of those adherents to the Nation of Islam, but the face of this religion slash movement is really Louis Farrakhan that you mentioned briefly in the first part of our conversation. Tell us who this man is.
About Louis Abdul Farrakhan, he was born in 1933. His name was Louis Eugene Walcott. And as is the case with most members of the Nation of Islam, they were originally called Black Muslims, and they later changed that. They look at their names as slave names, and so they usually change them. He became Louis Abdul Farrakhan, and when the second leader, Wallace Fard Muhammad, who became Elijah Muhammad, when he died, the mantle of leadership went to one of his sons, the seventh son of his, Wallace Dean Muhammad. And a lot of the people weren't real happy with that, especially in the following years. Wallace Dean Muhammad began moving the Nation of Islam and changed its name actually twice and began moving it back towards more historic Islam. And finally, in 1977, Louis Abdul Farrakhan rejected that. He broke away from that, and he reorganized the Nation of Islam into what it is today. And concerning Muhammad Ali that I didn't mention is that he was a member of the Nation of Islam, but he left that himself. When Malcolm X left the Nation of Islam, Muhammad Ali refused to talk to him. They never talked again, and Muhammad Ali said he just felt terrible about that to the day that he died because they were friends until then. But in 1975, Muhammad Ali left the Nation of Islam and became a more traditional Sunni Muslim. And the Sunnis tend to be the more radical Muslims between the Sunnis and the Shiites. But anyway, after 1977, Farrakhan reorganized the Nation of Islam into what it is today. They no longer called for a separation of blacks and whites physically, but you know, in towns and certainly by where they live and things like that, they were to separate themselves from the whites and the Jews of America.
Now, he has made himself famous, as you said, in the mid-80s as kind of a voice during the time of Jesse Jackson's run for president, saying things that were, if I remember correctly, probably most often anti-Semitic. And I wonder if this is, if he speaks simply as a provocateur or whether or not it really reflects the current teachings of the members of the Nation of Islam.
Well, that is foundational to the Nation of Islam. It is very anti-Semitic. He has referred to a number of times Judaism as a gutter religion and many other offensive things. And the quotes are not hard to find. Anyone going online can find the various quotes that he has made about whites and about Jewish people. So they are basically a racist organization. Racists come of all colors and shapes. There are black racists and white racists. But it's a racist organization, and they really don't like people who aren't black. And they reach out to the black people and try to keep themselves to that community.
Why is it that that blacks in America especially may be drawn to these kinds of teachings of Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam?
Okay. In an article, your listeners can find it in the archives of Christian Research Journal. I've written numerous articles for them for about 20 years. I was a contributing editor, a contributing writer. But in an article entitled Hate Begotten of Hate, they can find that online. I talk about that at the end of the article, why blacks are drawn to Farrakhan. And basically, it's not so much the theology as the fact that he reaches their physical needs, their emotional needs. He lifts them up, whereas many have a low self-esteem, et cetera. He lifts them up, tells them they're great, and that they are the ones who should be in charge and ruling things. And they do try to do a lot of good economic activities in black communities as far as helping small businesses, things like that. So there are a lot of people who are very sympathetic to the Nation of Islam, black people, but who do not actually become members of the Nation of Islam because they don't believe in its racist theology.
There are those who would kind of make an apology for the Nation of Islam, saying that it does provide, in several respects, what the black community may be lacking in America due to the dissolution of the family, absent fathers, things like that. Strong, very, very strong male role models and encouragement from the leaders of the Nation of Islam for men to be men in their families and communities. How do you respond?
I would agree with a lot of that. There are good things in all of the non-Christian religions of the world. There are good things in Islam, good things in different religions. When they try to tell black men to lift themselves up and to have respect for themselves and to do the right thing and to have respect for the women, for the black women, et cetera, those are great things. Many of these people that they recruited came out of prison and had records and things like that, like Malcolm X. So that is not something that we would disagree with at all. But I would encourage them to find their self-esteem not in what they do, but in God's love for them. Our only real basis for self-esteem is in the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He loves us more than we will ever know, black, white, red, yellow, orange. That really should be the foundation of our self-respect. Now, they have instilled self-respect and insist on self-respect among themselves, which is okay, which is good. But the foundation or the source of that self-respect is really not very good. It's not biblical.
What is the best Christian response to the toxic message of the Nation of Islam?
I would share the love of Jesus, that God loves all people. They say, well, Christianity is a white man's religion. Well, actually, it was born in the Middle East. That's kind of a mixing pot of Europe, Africa, Asia. And Jesus came for all people. He said to take the gospel to all people. The largest Christian continent in the world today is Africa. Over the last half century, God has been doing incredible movements in the people of Africa, and there are more Christians in Africa than any place else on earth today, any other continent. And I would try to share with them the love of Jesus and share that and let God, the Holy Spirit, work on their hearts. We can plant a seed and water it, but it's still up to the Holy Spirit to make it come forth.
With all of this said, we're kind of contrasting it with both Christianity and with Islam. There still are concerns about genuine Islam, apart from what one might think about the Nation of Islam, aren't there?
Oh, yeah, well, definitely. That's something we can do in another show. But Islam itself is growing and is in the headlines every night. Muslims are the second largest religion in the world next to Christianity. And basically, they say they're in affinity with Christianity, but they reject everything that is foundational to Christianity. They look at Jesus as a great prophet, but they deny that he's God, that he came down. They deny basically Christology and soteriology. They deny who he is and what he did. They deny that he died on the cross. Who died on the cross? Well, some say, well, Allah made Judas look like him. They don't know. But it wasn't Jesus. If he didn't die on the cross, then he didn't rise again from the dead on the third day. They say they believe in the scriptures that God sent beforehand, and yet they believe that these scriptures have become perverted and distorted. I wrote a tract that Good News Publishers publishes. It's called Jesus and the Quran, which I would encourage people to get if they talk to Muslims. It asks basically from the Quran, it shows from the Quran that these prior revelations, the Torah, the Psalms, and the Gospel, no man can change them. No man can distort them. And if God sent this message before to the Jews and to the Christians, then Muslims should read those and think about them. And if we can get our Muslim friends to actually read the Gospels for themselves, God will take over. And there's no reason why they shouldn't read the Scriptures, because the Quran talks about them. Not one negative word in the Quran about the prior Scriptures that God sent to the Jews and to the Christians.
Dr. Joe Goodell is director of campus ministries at Concordia Lutheran High School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He is adjunct professor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne and author of several articles on the Nation of Islam and Islam for the Christian Research Journal. You can read his article, Hate Begotten of Hate, Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam, at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Joe, thank you very much for being our guest.
Okay, thank you, and all God's blessings, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to get our weekly update on the November elections. Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard will join us, along with Molly Hemingway of the Federalist. We're going to find out what happened in California. Did it really make any difference what happened in California? The AP already declared Hillary Clinton the official candidate of the Democratic Party based upon superdelegate polling. We'll be right back.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
Theology for Blue Collar, White Collar, and Clerical Collar. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Are you interested in Lutheran education? Join the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education at a unique conference, July 19 through 21, 2016, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Speakers include the Reverend Dr. Scott Ashman, Dr. Angus Manouge, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak. Visit ccle.org for more information. That's ccle.org.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel, live, weekday mornings at 10:30 Central, 11:30 Eastern, 9:30 Mountain, and 8:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
and bring us to everlasting life.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.